I've been staring at the edge of the water long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I wish I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water no matter how hard I try. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know, where I cannot go, where I long to be. See the light at the side of the sea, it calls me, and no one knows how far it goes. If the wind in my sail on the sea stays behind me, one day I'll know. Just no telling how far I'll go. I know everybody on this island seems so happy on this island. Everything is by design. I know everybody on this island has a role on this island, so maybe I can roll with mine. I can lead with pride, I can make us strong, I'll be satisfied if I play along. But the voice inside sings a different song. What is wrong with me? See the light as it shines on the sea, it's blinding, but no one knows how deep it goes. And it seems like it's calling out to me, so come find me.
I can do this. There's more fish beyond the reef. There's more beyond the reef. Not so bad.
Whatever just happened, blame it on the pig.
So, if you've walked into the middle of something and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is insane. Yeah, you've walked into the middle of something, but let me catch you up really, really, really quick. The boat has arrived. We have been spending this sermon series talking about the story of Moana and combining it with the famous verse of the church. So let me catch you up on Moana's story first. Moana is a girl that lives on an island. She's a girl that thinks that's where she belongs because that's what she was taught. She was taught that everybody stays on the island and everybody is happy and we sing the songs and we do the things and we work our way through and we just belong on the island. But if you pay really close attention to the song that she was singing, she's not so sure. I mean, she's getting ready to do it. She understands that she's supposed to be the next generation of leaders, and she's got the rock in her hand, and she's gone up the mountain, and she's going to place her stone on the stone with all the other chiefs, and she's going to settle for the island. But just as she's about to do it, she lays the stone down, and she turns around, and what does she see? The ocean. That thing that since she was a little girl has been calling her back out to do something more than just the island. We've spent the first 4 weeks in this sermon series talking about our island, the famous firsts. We started out with the first two promises that Jesus made. We went around and then we looked at the first miracle that was there. We looked at the first ministry. And now we are going to talk about something else, because guess what? This is the transition sermon. We talked about the island. I can go ahead and blow the part of the sermon. We're going to talk about in November how to get off of the island. Of course, if you're going to get off of an island, what do you need? You need a boat. And so the next few weeks are all talking about what's our boat supposed to look like? What is it this church is intended to do? And when we begin to talk about the famous verse, you have to understand the church never really wanted to leave the island. It didn't. The church started and it was building there in Jerusalem and it was all happy and it was all good until God did something about it. See, we're kind of people that we can get stuck in a rut. We get into a place that we're comfortable. We get in a place where we're happy. We get in a place where we like everything that's going on. We get in a place where we like the people. Everything is by design. And I know everybody on the island, and everybody on the island knows me, and we're all happy. And we just want to stay on the island. But when God began to look at the church, he said, you know what? That's not the way this is supposed to work. So the funny thing is that God designed a way to force the early church off of the island. It's called persecution. Now, I'm calling this the first persecution, but I do understand that it's not really the first, because Jesus promised persecution. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely saying all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because of great is your reward in heaven. For you, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In Luke chapter, I'll catch up with myself in just a minute. In Luke chapter 21, verse 12, we read, but before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over into the synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors and all on the account of my name. John chapter 15, verse 20, it says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his holy master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey you also. So the idea of persecution, Jesus promised this was going to happen. So this wasn't a surprise. You know what? The church has been persecuted since the very start. Right from the beginning, the church was persecuted. So why I called this the first persecution, it really maybe isn't the first, but it's a little bit different. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 3 says, they seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 says, then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. In Acts chapter 6, verse 11 through 12, then they secretly persuaded some of the men to say, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemy against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Peter, they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 58, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of Holy Spirit, looked up and to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. This idea of persecution, it's been around since as long as the church has been here. But when you began to see Stephen, and remember, we met Stephen last week. He was one of the ministers that they voted in to look over top of the distribution of food. But now Stephen has taken a much bigger role. And somehow at the martyrdom of Stephen, when Stephen was executed, whatever Stephen said seemed to be a tipping point for the world, because we went from this kind of persecution to, well, the first church-wide persecution. We find this, if you have your copy of God's Word, make your way to Acts chapter 8, because this is where we're going to be for just a little bit. And on that day, so this is right after the execution of Stephen, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Don't miss this. We have not left the island. This is still Jerusalem-centered, so persecution is breaking out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged out both men and women and put them in prison. Things were changing for the church. I mean, their happy island, it ain't so happy anymore. These things have happened, and the preaching that's going on, the focus has turned and the attention has turned, and the island is being attacked. And the first thing that you see is, well, before, remember all of those verses I read you? They were going after the leaders. They were taking the apostles who were out preaching the word and ministering the word, and they were putting the apostles in jail. So something changed at this point. You see, what happened? They now were going door to door, knocking on the doors of people and identifying them as Christians, and they were dragging away not just the men, they were dragging away the women too. Now, you can read something else into that. If you come to a house and there's a man and there's a woman and they arrest the man and the woman and there are kids, guess who else has to leave? They're going after the families of the church. So something is changing, and they may even made plans to just pursue them. Saul comes along and he begins to ask for doctrines for letters of arrest so that he could go from city to city, not just in Jerusalem, but anybody that moved out, they were going to pursue them like a lynch mob. They were going to arrest all of the men and all of the women. All because you carried a name on you. Now, that sounds kind of bad, does it not? I mean, the church was in peril, wasn't it? I mean, if they continued to arrest the Christians and put them into jail and they had continued to execute them, who on earth is going to want to come to church in that kind of environment? The church was in peril, or was it? You see, for all of the bad things that were changing, there is something that we need to remember. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, something began to change as they began to arrest these Christians, as they began to persecute the church. We go back over to Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, and this is what we see. Pay close attention to this. Those who had been scattered, so they were persecuting the church, and the church was scattering, preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip, they saw the signs he performed. They all paid close attention to what he said, for with shrieks and pure spirits came out of many, and many were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city. You see, something was happening. I call this God's dandelion principle. Now this is Kids Sunday. So I got an object lesson one kid is going to understand it, because I'm constantly fussed at him, don't blow the dandelions. Every single year at springtime, guess what pops up in my yard? Dandelions. These little yellow flowers that eventually will come into these big snowball blossoms. And the goal of my yard isn't dandelions. The goal is grass. I'm not very good at grass, but the goal is grass. But what I get is dandelions. And so what is the quick solution to my dandelion problem? I take the mower, I lower the wheels a notch, and I go up into, across the yard, and I chop up the dandelions. My problem is solved, is it not? No, because what did I do? I just did exactly what they wanted me to do. I took the dandelions and I took the seeds that they were holding and I ran the mower over them, and the mower threw the seeds out into the yard, and guess what I have in a few weeks? More dandelions. And the more I cut, the more dandelions I get. You know why? Because dandelions have seeds, and as I try to scatter them with the mower trying to solve my problem, really what I'm doing is I'm just creating a field of dandelions. I want you to see what happened in that verse. Pay really, really, really close attention to that verse, because we see the same thing. What happened? The people of the church were persecuted. The people came in there and they were going to arrest them, and so the people began to scatter like the dandelion seeds. They did what people did everywhere they went. Now, you know, when you go somewhere, you always take a little bit of home with you, right? Even when we go on vacation, we pack suitcases and we take stuff with us. Sometimes I wonder why we take as much as we do, but we do, but we take stuff with us. And so as these people began to scatter, they took with them what they had. They took the seeds of the gospel, the very thing that the world was trying to destroy, and they pushed these people off of the island, and everywhere they went, it says they planted their seeds. It didn't matter whether they were in McDonald's or whether they were in the synagogue. It didn't matter if they were walking down the street. It didn't matter if they found their job. Wherever they went, these people began to plant their seeds as they went. And I just want to tell you something. This caused great problems for the world. For the people that were attempting to destroy the church, now they have a problem, because what happened from the seeds that were planted? Just like the dandelions, more Christians began to pop up. More believers, and now they're not on the island, they're spreading everywhere. You see, here is the ironic twist of the persecution. We look at persecution and we think this is a bad thing. The attempt to destroy them strengthened them. Their numbers grew, but something else changed. The island mentality left. Go ahead, read ahead of me. Take your Bible and start at Acts chapter 8 and read all the way to the end, and this is what you're going to see. The island mentality from Acts chapter 8 all the way to the end is starting to go away. The island is breaking up, and while we see it as a man thing, they persecuted the church, you really understand what's happening, right? God is forcing the church. And there's a good lesson for us as we begin to talk about how to apply this to us. If we choose not to go and we want to build an island, don't be surprised if God works against us to force us off of the island. Remember what made Moana start looking at that horizon again? It was the fact the crops were dying and the fish were going away, the very things that we use to identify the lost in our world. When we can no longer reach them, then the island is useless to us. It's time for us to think about what it means to go. There is an application that we need to understand in our church. See, today, 2017, we in the American church, and I have chosen that term very carefully, because the American church, we live in a pretty safe environment. I got here this morning, I got up and had my breakfast, and I got dressed, opposite order, I got dressed first and had my breakfast. I got in my car, I put the key in the ignition, I backed it out the driveway, and I drove to church, and I got here, and I opened the church door, and we are here, and guess what? I have suffered no persecution whatsoever coming to church this morning. It cost me absolutely nothing to be here except for a few hours of my time. It's not that way in all of the world. But what I do want you to see is we live in a safe environment in America. And you know, I think sometimes it's because Satan learned a lesson. In the early church, he thought the way you stopped the church is you persecuted. and you try to destroy the Christians. And so now he's done something different. He's kind of taken the persecution away from us. He says, you know what? I bet you if I make them comfortable, they'll just build the island and there they'll stay. And what begins to happen? I begin to wonder if we've lost our voice. I begin to wonder, because I'm all safe and I'm all warm and I'm all cozy and there's absolutely no cost to me to do this. It doesn't really cost me any persecution. I begin to lose my voice because the last thing I want to do is cause myself trouble, right? I can come and not preach Christ, and I can just come here and be a Christian, and then when I go out into the world, I can do whatever I want and I can just sort of go. You see, we no longer proclaim the message of Christ loud and clear because we are trying to avoid persecution. I mean, if I go out and I start talking to people about Jesus, they're going to give me a title like Jesus Freak, or they're going to laugh at me, or maybe they'll make fun of me, or they're not really going to listen to me whatsoever. Haven't you been out in the world very much? You see, we begin to lose our voice because we begin to become comfortable on our island. I know everybody on this island. I do everything on this island. Everything is by design. And I just want to keep the island safe. But here's what you need to know. Remember those promises Jesus gave at the beginning? I told you he promised persecution. He made another promise about the church. Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14 reads, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted." Now he's speaking in general. He hasn't got just the apostles here. "And be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and be deceived, and will deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, and the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." See, at some point, if you're going to get off of the island, at some point, if you're going to climb in the boat and you're going to sail out, it's going to be just like what happened with Moana. Her first trip off of the island, that didn't go so well, did it? I mean, the boat got destroyed. She almost died. And she comes crawling back up onto the water, onto the shore, just gasping for a little bit of air. She's injured. So it isn't going to always go smoothly as we begin to try to move off. Sometimes there's just going to be troubled waters. And sometimes there's going to be a little persecution. People are going to look at us and say, "What on earth are you guys doing?" Sometimes it may indeed threaten our lives. We're watching a world, and we may get to the point where it does threaten our lives to come here on Sunday morning, where there is a threat to my livelihood just to say I am a Christian. We may get to this point. It's funny when we get to that point what it says. You see, persecution does something else. It kind of tells you who you are. Because Jesus tells us that when the persecution begins to come, it will cause many. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say a few. It says many to betray their faith. See, when the time comes and it's time to put your life exactly where your mouth is and it's time to get off the island and go out and start witnessing to the world, that's when your faith begins to be tested. I mean, it's easy to be a Christian on the island, is it not? Even if I don't like everything that goes on the island, I can still come here and I can still be safe. It says people are going to be deceived. We're going to be tricked because of what we're going through. We're going to be lied to, and we're going to go away from what we believe. As a matter of fact, it says most. Remember, we're moving now from many to most. It says they're going to grow cold. This idea of going out into the world, some people are going to be very cold to this idea. And after all, I like my island, don't I? I like my church. Even when we hire crazy people to come in here and preach sermons, it's still, the island's not such a bad place. There's only one problem. The longer you stare at the horizon, the longer you stare at the world, the more you begin to figure it out. This is not where we belong. The island is just the place that I come to get myself prepared to go out and witness to the world. Isn't that what Jesus said? We're supposed to be preaching to all the world. Now, I'd like to leave you with a little bit of encouragement, because nobody likes to really talk about persecution, but it's going to happen. But Jesus did, in that verses that he was reading, he did make two promises that I want you to take and I want you to put in your pocket and keep as we're moving forward. Here's promise number one. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one that continues to do, the one that continues to grow, the one that continues to follow Christ all the way till the end. Well, what's the end? I'm going to go with a guess here at the end. He's talking about when our life here on earth is done. The one that finishes the race, the one that completes the job, those are the ones that Jesus says, those are my believers. Those are my followers. Those that can endure the persecution and continue to go, those are the people that are showing what their faith is. That's encouraging, isn't it? Jesus says, I know who you are. Here's the other thing. The gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. That word will. Focus on that word, will. It doesn't say the gospel may be preached, perhaps be preached, sometimes be preached. You do get it, right? The gospel will be preached. That means if we're unwilling to go, God may find somebody else that's willing to go. If we're unable to reach out to our neighbors, God's going to find somebody to go. He always does. Just look at Scripture. So here's what I need you to take. We must remain true to our mission. If that leads to persecution, so be it. If somebody wants to down me for going out and preaching the gospel, if somebody wants to say that's not the right thing to do, fine. If that's what you've got, that's what you've got. But here's the thing. The church must, just like the dandelions with the mower, the church must spread the gospel no matter the cost, even just like the church in Jerusalem, if it costs me the island. Even if it costs me everything I'm comfortable with, the church's mission is clear. Go into all the nations, teaching them, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey all my commands all the way till the end. There's no other mission statement that Jesus ever gave the church. He even reiterated it right there in Acts chapter 1 when he says, you will be witnesses, where we start, Jerusalem, Judea, and even to the ends of the earth, go through Samaria and all of those places. Understand, that was the mission. And there isn't any other. All the other stuff that we do on the island is for us to be filled so that we can go out and share. If you're filled and you're just storing up, then you know what? God's got a mission. Here's my question. And you're going to get 4 weeks to answer this question, 4 weeks after that. The boat has arrived. The focus is going to change. The question is, are you going to stay on the island? Or are you interested in getting the boat? Are you interested in staying and playing it safe? Or is it time that we as a church climb into the boat, look at the horizon, and chart our path to seek people out in the name of Christ? It's a decision that each and every one of us have to make. I'm going to ask you this morning to seriously consider that. I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.